So we're continuing in our prayer series, Prayers of the Saints. Hasn't this just been an awesome series so far? Yeah? Yeah? That's okay. We can clap for that. That's good. I like it. We're going to wrap it up today by looking at someone very special, and I think it's going to be really good. We're at a part of the year entering into the fall, one of my favorite times of the year. I know I'm kind of a freak of nature, but when it starts cooling off, even when it gets really cold, even on rainy days, like I get all this crazy energy. And I enjoy it, so I love the fall. And with the fall ushers in the holiday season. Can you believe that the holiday season is already upon us? Isn't that crazy? If you go to Target or to other stores, chances are, have you guys seen like Christmas trees for sale and like Christmas items for sale, or even people like scheduling? You probably are, like, if you're like the Uber holiday nerd, you're scheduling the day that your family's like gonna put the lights on the building, on your house, and put the tree up. Some of you, anybody already have your tree up? I know someone does, they're just too scared to admit it. Like, Uber nerd! Okay. Well, probably the farthest holiday from any of our minds is actually one that as Americans, we love to celebrate big time. And it's a holiday that happens in March. What holiday's in March? It's St. Patrick's Day. Everybody's like, man, that is seriously whacked out. That is like the farthest thing from my brain. Well, let's bring it right to your brain right now. When you think of St. Patrick's Day, you probably think of several different things. The first thing that you probably, one of the things that probably kind of mind, this may not be the first thing that comes to your mind now that I'm saying it, but put it up. If that's the first thing that came to your mind, there's programs for that. Green beer. It looks like lime jello. I don't know. So Irish pubs that day, they have green beer like crazy. They announce it, green beer for however much, and how many gallons of green beer are used in the United States on St. Patrick's Day. Moved here from Texas to Chicago and found out in Chicago they do something pretty unique for St. Patrick's Day. Chicago, huge land for St. Patrick's Day. They dye the river green. How many of you guys have seen that before? Green River. And of course, that naturally leads to the question, how do they dye the river green? And it's been said that no one really knows. I don't know if like the St. Patrick's Day gnomes actually come and, you know, paint it or what. Well, I did some research because I'm a research junkie and I wanted to find out exactly how the river gets turned green. And I actually figured it out. I'm gonna share this with you guys today. Yeah, it's really amazing. McDonald's generously gives Shamrock Shakes. They pour it into the river and just dye the whole thing green. It's crazy. Crazy. Never would have thought of that. Another thing you think of when you think of St. Patrick's Day, there's little cute little green creatures called leprechauns. Now that was like a nice picture. To me, leprechauns are like clowns. They're scary as all get out. So no offense to those of you who make a side business being a clown at kids' birthday parties, but you're scary, okay? Leprechauns are scary. This is like the nice photo that I could find. Like almost every other one was of like this little guy with a hatchet. You know, that's sort of my idea of a leprechaun. Shamrocks. Shamrocks are a big part of St. Patrick's Day. Also, what color is associated with St. Patrick's Day? Green. I do not like the color green because when I was a kid, I was always the kid that forgot that it was St. Patrick's Day. And so I didn't wear anything green. And let me just tell you, kids are merciless. They are. They have no mercy. I'd come walking in, and it'd take me until like second hour of the day to figure out why everyone was pinching the snot out of me. And kids pinch really hard. It's like they're little lobsters, you know? Come here. You don't have green. Boom. And it doesn't go away when we get out of school and we become adults, does it? You guys know this is true. We all look forward to St. Patrick's Day because you go to work and you look for the person who doesn't wear green and you pinch them like crazy. And you wonder why they hate their job. You know, it's because they work with people like you. I'm partially kidding. Another thing we think of is a nation that's represented on St. Patrick's Day. What nation is that? Ireland. And Ireland has brought us many, many good things. They've brought us the band U2 is from Ireland. So woot woot to U2. Some of you are like, me too? I don't know. If you don't know who U2 is, you've been living under a rock for the last 25 years. Another thing they've brought to us is Guinness. Some of you are confused. You think the Book of World Records? No, I'm talking about the green beer, but it's not green. Ireland's brought us a lot of good things. Well, today we're going to talk about a guy by the name of St. Patrick, St. Patrick of Ireland. And if you're honest, you're like me, you probably don't know a lot about St. Patrick. Didn't even realize this was a real person. But this holiday that we sort of celebrate every year where we party and go crazy and have the green beer and dye the river and listen to U2, I don't know. Does anybody actually do that on St. Patrick's Day? New tradition this year, listening to U2. We celebrate all that sort of stuff in honor of this guy. But did you know what March 17th actually is? It's the day that St. Patrick is believed to have been martyred. So we know how to throw a party when a guy gets his head chopped off for his faith in 4th century Ireland, right? All right. So we're going to be talking about him throughout the day. St. Patrick is born actually in England in the 4th century to a very wealthy family. When he was about 16 years old, he was kidnapped by pirates and taken to Ireland. That'll give you a great story, right? I mean, how many of us can say, I was kidnapped by pirates at 16? He was kidnapped by pirates and taken to Ireland and was working there. And in his writings that we're able to read, things that he's written, he actually said that God came to him during a dream and said to escape and to go to the coast and to get on a ship and go back to England. So he did. He escaped and he went to the coast, found a ship, sailed back to England, and joined a church right away. He got really serious about God, and after all that he had been through, felt like God was calling him to go back to the nation of Ireland and to represent Jesus Christ to these people. It was a polytheistic society, which means they believed in a lot of different gods. And so his sort of mission after being kidnapped and even taken there, if it were me, I probably would never want to go there again. But he felt really convinced that God was calling him to go there. And it's believed that he died on March 17th, 461. A long time ago. So we've been in this series, Prayers of the Saints, where we're examining prayers that various people who have walked the Christian journey have went. They recorded their prayers, and we're learning from them, not only about how to live our life, but also how to pray. And as a community, we've prayed together every week, segments from their prayers. And if you're like me, you can come in here, and we can read on a screen, and we can pray, but do you ever find it difficult when you're alone to pray? Anybody ever find that difficult? Not always the easiest thing to be there for an hour, 5 minutes, 2 minutes, a minute, 5 seconds. Anyone? Bueller? Okay. Prayer can be really, really difficult and really struggling for words. But here's a prayer that perhaps some of us may have prayed in recent days. Dear God, so far today I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, or self-centered, and I'm really happy about that, Lord. But in a few minutes, I'm going to be getting out of bed, and then I'm going to need a lot of help, so thank you, Lord, for your help. When we wake up in the morning, some of us, not mentioning any names myself, have a tendency to be a little bit grumpy. I love the fact that on fall back weekend, you're supposed to get an extra hour of sleep. You guys glad about that? The problem is when you have young children, they don't understand the concept of extra hour of sleep, falling back. That's right. So early in the morning, they're in our rooms. Like my son was early in the morning in our room, and I was trying to convince him, son, dude, way too early to be getting out of bed. No, the clock says this. No. It's actually an hour earlier. He goes, no, the clock says. No. It's actually this time. I made the mistake of not setting the clock the night before in the kitchen, so he thought it was an hour later. They don't understand. And so I was a lot grumpy. So my wife very graciously told me, like, hey, you were really rude about that. For years I struggled with that, waking up, because waking up sometimes in the morning is hard to do, isn't it? Have you noticed, if you're like me, that your bed is way more cozy in the morning when you wake up than it was the night before when you went to go to sleep? If my bed were as cozy at night as it is in the morning, it'd be a lot easier for me to fall asleep. We wake up, and we're grumpy. We're wearing our grumpy pants, and we haven't gotten out of bed and putting on our happy pants. And so we wake up grumpy, so we need something to give us a little bit of a charge. So today, we're going to look at this prayer of St. Patrick. It's called St. Patrick's Breastplate. We're going to start off by looking at something that I believe we could learn from him and pray in the morning to sort of set our day on the right path. So as we've done for the last several weeks, let's go ahead and put the prayer up, and we're going to pray this together. Go ahead. You guys start. Go ahead, and I'll... Yeah. I don't know what that was, like 0.25 font or something. So apparently St. Patrick is pretty long-winded in his prayers. We've all been praying with someone who goes on and on and on and on. And, no, I'm kidding. Right? It looks pretty long. We're not actually going to read this entire prayer, so calm down. We're just going to talk about a few things in there that I think will really help us as we learn to start going through our day. So he starts off this prayer, and here's what he says. And let's just read this first part together. Read this with me. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through the belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. I arise today through the strength of Christ's birth with his baptism, through the strength of his crucifixion with his burial, through the strength of his resurrection with his ascension, through the strength of his descent for the judgment of doom. What's the first thing that he says? I arise today. He starts sort of his prayer off, and it's important to note that he starts his prayer off with doctrine, proclaiming who God is. I arise today through the strength of who God is and through all of the things that God has done. Not in his own strength, but in sort of this conviction of who God is. He has sort of this purpose in getting out of bed. He's not just, well, I'm getting up today. He says, I arise today. Say that with me. I arise today. What if every morning you woke up and you said that with a sense of purpose? I arise today. It just feels good. Say that with me like that. I arise today. Doesn't that feel good? How can you say it that way and not feel a sense of like, this day is mine, right? He's saying it with a super core conviction. Yet, I know that there are times that I would ask myself, why did I get up today? Why did you get up today? Why do you get up during the week? Well, for most of us, it's because we have to. Because if we don't get up, we don't go to our jobs, and we don't go to our jobs, strangely enough, we end up not getting paid. And when we don't get paid, we don't eat. And we need to eat, and we need to have a place to live, and so we get out of bed because we have to get out of bed. I think in this prayer, he's acknowledging that God is powerful and that he has moved, and he's continuing to move, and so St. Patrick is aligning himself with this real truth about God. And he has a purpose in getting up because he believes in who God is. And I think that's a really big deal. He acknowledges God, the Trinity. He says, through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness, he's acknowledging who God is. He's acknowledging God's power. He's acknowledging the power of God's creation. And I think he's asking God, let me be a part of what it is that you seek to do in the earth today. And I think before his feet ever hit the floor, he's sort of so overwhelmed with the power of God and the goodness of God. But beyond that, the fact that God would look down and would see this person and would see value in this person, would see worth in this person. That's a powerful truth. If you and I began our day with this reality that God is powerful and has created everything, yet he looks down at me and through all of this power and he could do anything that he wants, he chooses to smile at me. And he has a purpose and a plan for my life today. Getting out of bed would be a lot easier. I realized for me this summer, we were on vacation in Texas. And if I don't know if anybody else does this, but I use my cell phone as my alarm clock in the morning. Anybody do that? And so my alarm goes off, and I found myself in this routine. And it startled me one morning when I woke up. I realized the first thing I do is I turn off my alarm. And then I go to an application on my phone that allows me to look at Twitter. And I just got to read what everybody said throughout the night when they were insomniacs and unable to sleep. And so they're telling about this and that, and you got to read this article, and here's the sports scores, and here's what I ate for dinner, or I couldn't sleep, and at 2 a.m. I cooked myself this, and here's a tweet pic. And so I see a picture of it, and now I'm hungry. And I'm thinking all these things and all the stuff I just have to know about people that happened overnight. Then I get done with Twitter, and I'm like, I've exhausted as far as it'll go, and I've seen everybody's little nuance of their day. And so I open up my Facebook application on my phone. And I look at the news feed, and so I see what everybody says about their life and how, you know, everyone in the world plays Farmville or whatever it's called, and they have a new dog and a new plant and all these things in this mysterious world that doesn't actually exist. So I got to read about all these things. Then after that, I go over to the news. I go over to a web browser and I go to the news because God forbid that something happened internationally that I don't know about in the last 8 hours while I was asleep. And so I get caught up in all the data about what's going on in, you know, Uzbekistan or wherever it is. And I get all this information. And then the last thing I do is I go to my email and I go through my email. And I had 972 emails while I was sleeping for some reason because no one else was sleeping. And they email me all this stuff. So I go through all my emails. Anybody else like this? You wake up in the morning and this is the first thing you do is like get caught up on everything. Everybody's shaking their head. Yes, I'm guilty. Then the very last thought that goes through my mind is, oh yeah, and then there's God. And I really felt convicted about that. Why is it that God is the last thought of my brain when it's God who's given me my very breath? When it's God who's enabled me to open my eyes and to live yet another day to do good things for his purpose? That's convicting to me. I still wrestle with that. My tendency is still to grab my phone. I've got my notes on my iPad. I could tell you guys to pray and I could go check Facebook and Twitter real quick. Why is it that my first thought of the day is anything but God? Well, for some of us, getting up each day is hard because we feel like we don't have anything to look forward to. And I think there's probably not one person in this room who's never experienced that you woke up and just felt like life is really tough sometimes, isn't it? And sometimes we get out of bed or we wake up and we don't want to get out of bed. We don't want to put our feet on the ground because we're having a really difficult time in our life. I don't think that's God's intention for us. And St. Patrick, he opens his prayer with proclaiming all of these things about God, and I think that's a great reminder. And I want to share this passage in Colossians chapter 1. And if you're a note taker, I'd write this down. Colossians 1, 11 through 17. This is some really powerful truth about God. And I think if we could really take these verses and let them sink in deep into our heart, getting up would be a different experience for us in the morning. Colossians 1, it says, "May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." That is good news. We sing about that today. "In a marvelous light I'm running." Those aren't just lyrics to a song. Those are powerful doctrinal truths about what God has done for you and me, that as we've chosen to follow Jesus with our life, our position has been transferred from bedraggled and ragamuffin into sitting at the table of God. That Jesus has done this work on our behalf, that no longer are we wandering aimlessly, but now we're called and claimed by the Father God himself. That's good news. It goes on to say, "He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, and in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." That's why I think beginning with doctrine is important. This is the truth of God and who he is. And I think as a community, we've been sort of in this season where God's reminding us of this. And if you remember, we were in this series called Mirrors, where we learned that our right thinking about God affects every other part of our life. Wrong thinking about God affects every other part of our life. Because as we think, so we believe, and as we believe, so we do. So starting with this belief about God is really important. And if you're like me, playing the game sometimes of pretending to have it all together and to hold it all together for a long time is very exhausting, isn't it? And what freedom comes if we were able to pause but for a moment and say, you know what? I'm gonna acknowledge God for who he is and that he holds all things together. And the freedom that comes with that of knowing that I don't have to. That's a big deal. That's really, really a big deal, because no longer do we have to see all of our circumstances as spinning around us out of control. We can look directly at God and see him as steadfast and secure and unchanging and always there and holding all things together. So what if we begin our day by pausing to acknowledge God and acknowledging that he holds all things together? What if you and I did that just for the next 5 days? We tried it for 1 or 2 weeks. We acknowledge God and acknowledge that he holds all things together before we ever get out of the bed. How would that transform the rest of our day? So St. Patrick moves on from that sort of introductory doctrinal acknowledgement to three or four other things that I think we can learn from this sort of praying through our day. The next thing that he says is, God, guide me. And he gives 9 statements about God guiding him. The first one is, God's might to hold me. Now, I think about when we're learning to ride the bicycle and our parents come along and what security there is when they're holding the seat, right? And I think that we see this, like, we step out during the day and say, okay, God, it's up to you to guide me, okay? It's not just up to me to try to figure everything out. It's up to you to guide me. And the sort of security that comes from knowing that God is holding things together. He's holding us as we go. The next two, his wisdom to guide me and eye to look before me. That's really important. To realize that God is able to see far beyond where you and I can see. If you're like me, thank God for the GPS. I love the GPS. Before it, I was a typical man. I didn't like to ask for directions. I didn't like to look for directions. And if we'd print out, like, on maps, my wife would be holding the map, and I'd say, okay, what's the next turn? And she'd tell me, and I'd say, well, what's the turn after that? And the turn after that. I want to know, like, all the turns, you know? I don't want to know, like, just one turn ahead, and it's somewhere between 1 and 19 miles before we turn on exit such and such. No, I want to know exactly how far it is. I want to know what the next 5 steps are. And I've noticed that's how my life with God is, too. That as I'm following Christ on this journey, like, I want to know every little detail. I want to see way down the path. But God doesn't always give us that path, but he does see the path. And as he guides us, he uses his wisdom because he's able to see on down the road. We've probably all heard the scripture, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Well, the last few years I've been kind of reflecting on that verse, and that's a really great verse. And I realized if you're at night on a dark path and you have lamps on your feet, and if they don't break and catch your feet on fire, well, let's just assume they don't break and then catch your feet on fire. You have flashlights and you're going down this path at nighttime, you can only see so far down the path. True? Okay. I didn't know if you thought that was true or not, but, you know, I'd be happy to drop you off in the wilderness tonight about midnight with no flashlight and just see what you find out. Yeah, you only see so far down the path, especially on a really dark night where the moon is not out. It's hard to see. And so we get insecure because we want to see, and every little sound that we hear distracts us, and we're not sure what that is and what that is. But the power of claiming this and saying to God, God, guide me today, your eyes to see ahead, your wisdom to guide me, is that God's already looked down the path. He already knows what all the obstacles are. So you only have to see a little bit at a time. And that's why sometimes it's good just to pray, okay, God, for today, guide me. Not for the next 10 years, guide me. I think we would all admit, for most of us, what we might have prayed 10 years ago and what actually happened today, the path that we thought we were going to go down or where we thought we were going to end up, is very different. So my journey is just simply acknowledging God and asking him to guide me today. The second one is God to protect me. And he starts listing all of these sort of crazy-sounding things. He says, every cruel and merciless power that may oppose my body and soul. If you stand up on a subway and yell this out, God protect me from every cruel and merciless power, people are going to think you're crazy, okay? Then you go on, incantations of false prophets, black laws of pagandom, false laws of heretics, craft of idolatry, spells of witches and smiths and wizards. I mean, it sounds like a typical day in the office, right? Right? Well, he lived in a time, he's getting ready to go to Ireland, they believed in all these different gods and all these different spirits and all these different things, and I don't think that he was really afraid that the boogeyman was going to come out and get him. I think what he's asking is, God, protect me from myself. Protect me from my thoughts. All these people who are standing against me and all these people who are saying all these things and hoping for bad things to happen, let it not get in my mind and then my heart and change my course of action. Protect me from me, from thinking the way that I think. Back in the Mirror series, I talked about our thoughts and talked about how we have this thinking cycle where we receive input. We process that input. Whatever that input is, it affects the way that we believe. And when our beliefs begin to change, our behavior begins to change. then when our behavior has changed, we go out into the world and people respond to the way we're behaving. They give us feedback. Oh, I noticed this. And we take it back in and we process it and it solidifies our beliefs and our behavior. And all of a sudden we find ourselves in this cycle and we can easily get into a negative thinking cycle and realize, wow, it didn't happen one day. I just woke up and decided to be negative or believe all the wrong things. It happened a little bit at a time. So as he's getting ready to go into this country and share the gospel of Christ with unbelievers and with people who stood greatly opposed to the truth of Jesus, he knew that his greatest enemy was himself and his inability to protect his mind and to guard his heart. So he's asking, God, guard my heart as I get up today and as I go out and I seek to serve you and as I try to stay on your path, protect me from me and from the way that I'm thinking. Then he goes to the next one, Christ, shield me. Say that with me. Christ, shield me. He's asking for God's protection from those things from the outside that are like darts. He says, against poison, against burning, against drowning, against wounding, from anything that was against God's purpose for him. That's what he was asking for shelter from, for Christ to shield him. It's like the armor of God in Ephesians 6. As you prepare for battle and prepare to truly be obedient to following God, things start happening. There's a very real enemy that lines a scope and sights right on you and starts pulling the trigger. Did you guys ever see the show American Gladiators that used to be on years ago? I love like the game where like the gladiators up there and like just firing, boom, 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 and you're running between obstacle to obstacle and obstacle. Or maybe if you play paintball or something like that, you do that. They're firing like crazy, bam, 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 bam. And you're running as fast as you can to try to avoid getting hit, because when it gets hit, it hurts. And maybe for you and me, those bullets that are coming at us, they're not poison or they're not burning or they're not drowning or wounding, but maybe it's that you're having a tough time in your life. Maybe the enemy's got you on speed dial and he's nailing you with everything that he can to discourage you and to thwart God's purpose and plan for your life. For me, I've had a kind of a crazy week. A couple of people that are very close to me have had some serious problems in their life. And it's been a lot to mentally think through. And I felt like that. And it's so strange, like multiple times I've realized as I've prepared to share on this prayer that I so desperately need to pray this myself, and not just look at this life of St. Patrick. I'm praying like, Christ, shield me, shield my family, shield my friends, shield this community from the enemy who so desperately wants to bring us down when we just try to serve Jesus and move forward in his plan and his purpose for our life. Then the last part, Christ, surround me. And I think the first parts were like, God, align me with you. God, guide me. But then protect me and shield me. But then he gives these sort of words that are actually the words that the song Taylor just sang are based on. And it's this idea that Christ so permeates his life that everywhere he goes, that he's just surrounded like just the glory of God. Last service, somebody showed me a picture. I was wearing a white shirt last service, and the lights were a little bit bright. And apparently on the TVs in the lobby and in the family room, I was just glowing, and I tried to convince people, this is the glory of the Lord, just oozing, off of me. Not everybody was convinced of that for some reason, I don't know. But it's like that. Can you imagine if our life was so in tune with following Christ that when people saw us, it just left a good taste in their mouth? So let's put these words up and let's read this together. Read this with me. Christ with me. Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. Isn't that a beautiful thought? That's how I want my life to be. Then he ends again with doctrine, and he goes back to the very first thing. I arise today because of who God is. He re-acknowledges his sense of purpose. That's the prayer of St. Patrick. And I think we can learn from this prayer, and I'm going to give you just six very quick things, if you want to write these down, that I think is just a great model for prayer for our day. The first thing he did is he acknowledged God. We've talked a lot about that. Just simply pausing to say, God, you're creator. God, you're good. God, you hold all things together. Number two, God, guide me. If we just pray for God to guide me today, not necessarily the next 10 years, but just today, help me get through today, go in the direction that you want me to go. Three, God, protect me. Let me listen to the voice from above, not the voices from below. Let me be protected from my thought process going the wrong way and reinforce it with the truth of who God is. Number four, Christ, shield me. I'm going to try to follow you today. And I know that there's going to be things that's going to stand in the way of that. And so I'm just going to pray, God, that you would shield me. Christ, you would shield me from the attack of anyone that wants to stop me from following your will. Number five, Christ, surround me. Let me radiate you today. Be so near to me and on my right and on my left and above me and below me and everywhere that you surround me, that when I come, I'm glowing with the radiance of the goodness of God. And that when people see me, that they would think of Christ. And when they speak of me, they would speak of Christ. And then finally, acknowledge God. At the end of the day, after we've prayed those things and we put our head on the pillow, we acknowledge God again. God, today is a gift from you. And you did these things in my life. And I thank you. And then we go to sleep. What if we made that our prayer for the next 5 to 7 days? What if we just gave it a try and just did those six simple things and learn from St. Patrick? And as we've been in this series and as we're wrapping up this Prayers of the Saints series, we're realizing that prayer is so, so important. And I am absolutely convinced that prayer is one of the most important parts of the believer's journey. I heard this quote from a guy by the name of Daniel Henderson several years ago, and we're going to put it up, and I want you to read this and listen to it. He says, "Prayerlessness is our declaration of independence from God." Prayerlessness is our declaration of independence from God. That's pretty serious. When we fail to stop and acknowledge God for who he is and to ask his intervention in our life, when we do that, when we fail to do that day after day and week after week, what we're saying to God is, I can do this on my own. I don't need to be dependent on you. But like my life, it doesn't take more than 2 or 3 months of that for God to remind me that I actually am, in fact, dependent on him. And I want to be dependent on him because the super amazing God of all creation looks down through all of his creation and the wonder of all the things that he's done and all the things he's done in this world and is doing. And he looks at you and he looks at me with favor and he says, I've given you a seat at my table. And so I want to pause and acknowledge God. So at the end of this series, at the end of this prayer, I'm going to ask you just to stand with me. And we're going to read the words of this prayer together. And I'm going to ask you not to just let these be just words that we're doing. I'm going to read and then ask you to respond. Let this response, here's the response, let it be so in me, just like we sang in the song. That's all I'm asking you to do. Not to try to be everything to everyone, but just to let God do his thing in you and around you. And may your response and my response be, let it be so in me. So would you stand together as we pray this? I'll read and you respond. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through the belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me. And all together we say, let it be so in me. Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me. Let it be so in me. Christ on my right, Christ on my left. Let it be so in me. Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise. Let it be so in me. Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me. Let it be so in me. Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me. Let it be so in me. Christ in every eye that sees me. Let it be so in me. Christ in every ear that hears me. Let it be so in me. Let that be our prayer. Would you pray with me? God, I just acknowledge you as good. I acknowledge your graciousness, and I just thank you for people that have gone on before us and have documented their heart towards you and their thoughts towards you, and you them asking you to intervene and just be involved in their life. And God, I ask you to help us to be like them, to be a people of prayer, to be a people who will talk to you on the good days and the bad days. And God, as we approach every morning, let us give thanks that you've given us another day to serve you, that you've given us an opportunity to walk with you. And we pray that you would definitely guide us, that you would protect us, you would shield us. Christ, you would surround us. And through all of that, we acknowledge you as God, and you are good. And it's our privilege to approach you, King. And we acknowledge that we love you today. And we ask all of this as a community in Jesus' name. And together we said, amen.